Hello and welcome to Heaven's Gatecast. This is the first of hopefully many podcasts that we're going to put up here on the interwebs or the underwebs. And we're very, very privileged to actually have two members, one old and one new, of the Heaven's Gate group. The new member is, of course, Jonathan. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing all right, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well, sitting here thinking about tea and dough. And the old member, when I say old member, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. although, you know, you do describe yourself as an old guy, don't you, Sawyer?
Well, I'm hitting 62, so that's considered old in some people's
yeah. vehicle. But he's looking great. He's an old member. He was with the class for what? 19 years, Sawyer?
19 years, yeah.
Wow.
And we're very lucky to have these two people here. And we're going to today talk about the beginning of the class, but not so much the beginning of the class. Well, we're going to get on to that. We're going to actually talk about the truth, the actual truth of how tea and dough, and at the time, you know, people called them Bo Peep, but Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Lou Nettles actually met, not the way that the media has put it. Isn't that right, sir?
Well, it's a controversy, right? And a lot of times they repeat the controversy that is most damaging to their reputation. Mm-hmm. So, which is not what actually happened. Many times. Before I get started on that, you might want to just clarify that we're not a group.
No.
There is no actual new group of Heaven's Gate. There's no class. Let's just say that. There's no class of such. There's no, like, what people used to say is the cult, or, you know, like the inside story said is the cult. But there are quite a lot of new believers that have come to the knowledge, and I'll say it, you know, quite freely, myself included. I first, maybe that's something we should talk about, actually.
Sure.
How actually we all three of us came to actually agree, or not even agree, or but come to discover this material and then actually believe it, because it's striking stuff. Jonathan?
I used to be a seeker. I was looking for the truth, I guess you would say.
What's your religious background, Jonathan?
I have always been a traditional Protestant, Baptist, with a bit of a belief in UFOs. I have to admit. Mm-hmm. You know, I would wonder why the Christian God, the Jewish God, would create all these planets and limit his activity to just this Earth.
We'll put it
that way.
So how did you actually, did you stumble across the teachings, or?
I did. I was on a religious website, Sacred Text, if anybody wants to look it up, and a former member, Carlin, mm-hmm. he had posted some stuff there. He submitted some materials, and I looked through those materials, and I don't know, maybe six, seven years later, I talked to Carlin himself, or emailed him, and I came to the belief in Tia No as the two witnesses, as the Father and the Son.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. You know, I mean, it's hard to ask Sawyer how he came across it, because it was, you know, not only so long ago, but also, you know, under different circumstances. Times were different, weren't they, Sawyer?
Well, I guess, yes, I guess in some ways they were different. Well, it's, of course, it's, you know, when you've had this much time to look back on everything. Mm-hmm. And the story gets very large. But essentially, I was living on the West Coast in Oregon. I was actually building a house out of logs that I cut down. I was making a teepee house.
I actually have a picture of that. If you want me to flash that up, I will do.
No, you don't have that house.
Oh, is that a different one?
You have the cabin.
The cabin, yeah.
I was living in British Columbia. But see, I ended up going to the West Coast from where I grew up outside New York City. And I went out there to homestead. I went to British Columbia with my girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to work in British Columbia and earn a living and all that. And somebody turned me in as being an American without a visa.
Oh,
or
really?
A green card.
Oh, my.
And so
oh my
I was deported.
Back to the States?
Back to the States.
Oh, right, okay.
They drove me to the border, took me to jail, and then took me to the border and let me go. And I had $50 left in my pocket.
My
girlfriend was allowed to pack up all our stuff in the mountains where we lived in this cabin with no facilities. And she was allowed to meet me with our truck that we bought in British Columbia and at the border. So that basically began my trek to the Oregon coast.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting story to begin with, actually. But we got to Newport, Oregon,
mm-hmm.
with no gas and no money.
Right, okay.
Ooh.
And we were parked looking over the ocean and wondering what to do. And since I was a musician...
And still am, actually. You're still a musician.
Yeah, I mean, but an informal musician. I never actually worked... professionally as a musician.
You didn't actually get paid for it at that time.
I very rarely got any money for what I did at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, I'll go to a bar and I'll see if I can meet anybody and, find a place to stay and all.
Uh-huh.
And I did. And I met people and we ended up staying in like a hippie flop house kind of thing. But then it was years later, after I kind of settled into the community, I still wasn't satisfied with being there. And I ended up taking trips south to, California, hitchhiking everywhere with my girlfriend. And then we ended up back in Oregon, and I had a band that I was mm-hmm. playing with on a regular basis.
You were playing bass?
No, I was playing on a regular basis. We were
You were playing on a regular basis.
We had gigs at fairs and restaurants and bars and whatnot. Anyway, so we were at a practice one morning. Actually, when we woke up from an all-nighter kind of party practice.
It was that way, was it?
Yeah. And, I walked out, overlooking the ocean again, and for the setting, a beautiful setting.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a poster on the telephone pole that said, "It's a poster that we see in the books, and was published. It said UFOs, why they are here, where they have come from, when they will leave."
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yes, and then it said, two individuals say they've come from level above human. And they're here to talk about that. I forgot the exact wording, but... And it just... I looked at it and I said, wow. I want to see what these two people look like that are from this other level.
Well, like, these people might be, like, strange looking, or...
I had no idea. I had really no experience with UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Or space aliens at that point. This was 1975. And the funny thing was that a few months before that, I was sitting in my friend's apartment and it came over the radio, a broadcast, uh-huh. saying that there was a crashed flying saucer and that there were bodies found.
Really?
Yeah. I was listening to this over the radio and it sounded like a broadcast of a news event.
So it wasn't it wasn't a coincidence then that you were looking for this.
No, I don't think so. I remember jumping up in my seat when I heard this broadcast and saying to my friends that were with me, saying, "Did you hear that? They said that it was a crash flying saucer with bodies." And they looked at me like, big deal.
Oh, that's right. Back in the 30s, Orson Welles with Mercury Theater, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, you know, up until that point, Roswell was certainly a news event. It just wasn't an event that I had heard about.
That's amazing.
The broadcast was actually basically talking about the Roswell crash.
So where did you go then from then, Sawyer, to find the well, at the time they were called Total Overcomers.
Well, Total Overcomers came much later. But
Really? I might have that wrong. You're right.
I know where you're going on that. That's fine. So I ended up, you know, looking at my girlfriend saying, you know, I got to go to this meeting. I got to see what these people look like. And what intrigued me about it was that they said in the poster that people have decided to give everything to this endeavor. Mm-hmm. For some reason, giving their all was something that I had in my brain that I identified with wanting to do.
And we're not talking as well about people who had nothing. I mean, we're talking about people who had actual physical monetary assets.
Oh, yeah.
Although the group never took it. You know, like T and Doe never actually wanted the actual funds, did they?
Well, that's not exactly true. No,
they wanted the funds to actually run the group, but nothing else.
Yes, absolutely.
Right,
and
right.
They didn't actually want funds. They didn't ask for money or anything.
No.
But what happened was we went to the meeting, and the meeting is a story in itself. Where should I go into that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it's part of the program. Let's go.
This is kind of an infamous meeting, you know. This is where the news broke from this meeting.
Okay.
And so I went to it with my girlfriend, and actually those other friends that were in that apartment also went to the meeting. And a lot of my friends
Hello?
Went to the meeting.
I can hear you, John. Yeah.
And it was a supper club in Worldport, Oregon. That's actually where I was building the house at the time, just south of Newport, on the coast. And so it was a supper club, and I would estimate that there were maybe 200 people or so in this relatively small space, to where a lot of people were standing in the back, because they had the whole thing cleared out of the tables and all, so that they had just chairs lining the whole thing, you know, like for a meeting. And so there were maybe, you know, about 12 or 15 rows of chairs that...
Like a lecture theater.
Yeah, it was a little theater, like, kind of looking. Mm. So there were at least 200 people there. And it was not well lit. And T&O came out, and they left a little a statement on each chair that was like a it was an 8.5 by 14 inch piece of paper that was typewritten and then copied. And it was filled, the whole page, and it was called Statement 1.
And what did it say?
Statement 1.
What are you saying there, John, by the way?
I'm just thinking about Statement 1 and all the revelatory material it contains, you know. It's monumental.
Statement 1, so if people don't know what that is, does anyone want to give a little bit of a preview of Statement 1? I've got the book right here next to me. I can do it, or, you know, it would be nice if you guys could.
I could do it if you want. I mean, I know it pretty well. I can't recite it word for word, but...
Jonathan?
I mean, it starts off saying that what religions have thought to be... a kingdom of heaven it was really a evolutionary step above humans, and that it was similar to the analogy was that it was like there's the human kingdom, uh-huh. and there's the animal kingdom beneath the human kingdom, and the plant kingdom beneath the animal kingdom, and the mineral kingdom beneath the plant kingdom, and that above that there was another kingdom, and that was the level above human.
The evolutionary level above human, the house of Doe's father, T.
Right, and that it was a many-membered kingdom, and that it was a physical many-membered kingdom. They had physical bodies in this kingdom.
This is all great stuff. It really, really is, and it's going to make a great first podcast. I do want to bring Jonathan back in a little bit here, actually.
Hello.
How you doing, okay. Jonathan? I know you've been sort of pushed out the way a little bit there for a minute, because we're listening to Sawyer's story, and Sawyer's story is, it's fantastic, and it's, you know, you can't really, you know, cut and, you know, mess around with that kind of thing, because it's fantastic. But at the same time, Jonathan, you're what I would call a new believer, like myself.
That's right.
And it's especially difficult, I think, for us, because there is no incarnate member.
No, I mean we've got the book. It's the book of Revelations, the book of many revelations, if you will.
Yeah. And it's very difficult for us to even sort of, you know, I mean, like, I've got the book, you've got the book, and when I say we're talking about the book here, guys, we're talking about the blue book or the purple book. It depends, you know, where you get it from and whatnot. We've got the audio tapes. We've got the Beyond Human tapes. I will put a link to all these things. And eventually, by the way, I'm going to put a link to a website that I'm actually developing at the moment where it's going to have the book, the blue and the purple. It's going to have the audio tapes. It's going to have the videos. It's going to have everything.
I'm not sure if I mentioned. I think I might have mentioned this to both of you, but there's some statements that we don't have that are. I think they're in a library archive in. I want to say Ohio, but I'm not sure. But there it's available to researchers. And I mean, if somebody could find that stuff and type it up or scan it in, that would be fantastic, but I mean I'm nowhere near there, and I don't think either you are either.
No, I'm certainly not. No, I'm definitely not. But then at the same time, you know, like I say, you know, like we're again, I don't want to backtrack and all this, you know, and I really appreciate having Sawyer because he's one of the only original members of the group that will actually talk. Carlin also will talk. And I'm not, you know, saying the rest of the guys, you know, Mark, Sarah, Rio, anyone else won't talk. I'm sure they will, but you know, like, just in my own personal experience.
So basically, then the two individuals came out on the stage at the meeting and sat down in two chairs, and they were casually dressed, wearing like matching windbreakers, you know, like those and slacks, and they both looked the same in a sense. They both had short haircuts that were a little bit like that Butch Boy haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit over the ears, you know, and they just sat there and looked at the audience for, you know, it seemed like a long time, but it was probably just a couple of minutes. But they didn't say anything for the first couple of minutes. I don't know if they were waiting for people to be quiet or what, but you could feel that the audience was like saying, you know, like, come on, what's going on?
Yeah.
But anyway.
What are we doing here? You know, you've called us here and you're going to sit there and say nothing.
Now, at this point, their names that they went by were Bo and Peep.
Okay.
Bo was Doe and Peep was T.
The shepherd and the sheep.
Right.
I get it.
And so Bo began to talk, And basically, he started going through basically what was in that statement that was given to each individual in the meeting. Mm-hmm. And at one point, he got to a place to where he was talking about how some individuals have decided that this was so important that they wanted to give their all towards the process mm-hmm. of becoming a member of the level above human. And that they compared that process to a metamorphosis of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly.
The cocoon.
Yes. The cocoon is basically creating the environment to where the student, the caterpillar, would have a chance to put all their energy into changing into a butterfly.
Transformation, yeah.
Yes. And they talked about body changes. But not at the meeting, actually. But so I shouldn't jump ahead. But they said that in order to take the first step in this regard, a student needs to actually leave everything behind.
Well, can I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
Because a lot of the media and the documentaries at the time on the subject, when the first leaflet came out, it was advertised, apparently advertised as a way to leave this planet by not losing your life, by actually taking your physical body with you and being picked up by an actual spacecraft.
Correct. That's what Tien Do actually believed at that point. They believed that largely because they believed that was the prophecy in the Revelations 11 two witnesses. Mm-hmm. But actually, the prophecy didn't actually talk about the student. Mm-hmm. I mean, it actually did, but it's not the part of the prophecy that most people are familiar with. It's actually in chapter 11, verse 2, that talks about the saints, calling them the holy.
Okay.
Anyway, but yes, Tien Do believed that, they believed a number of things that became updated in their minds. But at the time, they thought that we were going to physically leave. And the funny thing about that is that in my mind, that wasn't going to happen.
Oh?
In my mind, I was going to be killed for believing what I believed. And, martyrdom.
So you're like, you'd be martyred.
Yeah, I was attracted to that because I was raised a Catholic, like so many Christians, and they thought that, you know, that was like heroic.
Yeah.
Be martyred.
Let me jump in here. Didn't Do say that, if they were killed, then they were killed, but you shouldn't be on a martyr trip, so to speak? I mean, it shouldn't be your purpose, but I mean, if it happens, it does indeed happen.
Absolutely, and I will actually, for the first time right now, I'm realizing that Tien Do, throughout the 19 years that I was with them, demonstrated an uncanny ability to stick to the program that they felt like they were getting from their older member. Which, by the way, Do thought that T's older member was T, actually. Mm-hmm. That T actually could be in more than one place at the same time.
She could be two minds.
She could operate more than one vehicle, yes,
yeah.
That's right.
I get that, yeah.
She didn't need to bring her entire mind to be incarnate.
No, she only needed a small piece of her mind. And then yeah. The rest of her mind would still be on, in the next level realm.
But so they were basically spoon-fed information so that they wouldn't be too far ahead of the student body's ability to assimilated.
Okay.
And so, but right from the beginning, so in a sense, what I'm saying is that they were basically saying that this isn't a martyrdom trip. And they always said that throughout the years, that this is not a martyrdom trip.
Yeah.
We're not, our intent isn't to get killed. But if that happens,
it's the way of the next level.
It accelerates us getting back to the next level. Mm-hmm. But they believed that that would happen to them. Mm-hmm. But they didn't
totally,
really,
yeah. Absolutely.
They didn't really think about how that would happen, except to say that they suspected that there would be a large meeting called. And that wherever we were, that we're traveling around the country giving meetings, because they at that point didn't necessarily think that they would be a group. In fact, when they first gave their talk in Los Angeles, the city of God, city of God's angels, mm-hmm. They said that they were very reticent to take on followers, because they thought that they were supposed to just give the information and then go on to the next place to give on information. They never thought that there would be people that would follow them.
Hmm.
Jonathan?
I'm thinking.
Well, I'm thinking, to
well,
be
can
honest...
I finish something on that? I know I take a long time, but...
Okay, go ahead.
So what I'm saying is that for the students to expect to be martyred and to think that was the thing that they were going to do would have been inappropriate for two reasons.
Okay.
For one, because we learned later that the body changes that they were talking about that were going to be happening inside our bodies, like the caterpillar experiences. Mm-hmm. And the actual going to the next level with our bodies was actually true. But the body we were talking about was the soul body, not the spirit body.
Oh, you know, right. So we're not talking about the physical body. We're talking about the actual
the soul body
the
actually
soul.
Is a physical body. Mm. The soul body is an actual physical body.
Mm.
And we didn't understand that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And had T and Doe understood all that ahead of time, frankly, I think they would have blew everybody's mind.
Well, I think they still blew everybody's mind, Sawyer.
No, but see, certain amount of people, the next level, they never manipulate anybody, but they do spoon feed the information to their student body because it can actually literally blow the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Of the brain and basically
literally make someone like well we're talking in this case like someone makes someone for example have a nervous breakdown.
Oh yeah, but also actually turn them away from the next level.
Mm, yeah.
Because they can think this is too crazy.
Oh. You know what I mean? To many it probably is, but I am gonna hold and bring across here now. I think this is probably a good place to end this conversation. I mean, I was talking about doing this for half an hour. It's not been half an hour, but it's still, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's been fantastic to have Sawyer and Jonathan on the line. We will definitely do this again with the next bit of information we want to talk about. And if anybody wants any more information about Heaven's Gate or the evolutionary level above human, you can either visit heavensgate.com, or in the next couple of days you can go and check out the www.ufo2witnesses.info.
Ooh, next level archive.
Other than that, you can always email or message any of us and we will definitely get back to you. Is that okay, guys?
It wouldn't hurt, in my mind, to stress that we're not starting an organization.
No. Right.
We're not looking for donations. not looking to, you know, sell anything or making, membership tags that we can, you know, put on our hats and stuff, and buttons. And...
We're not seeking new members, and, you know, we're not starting, you know, the cult part two or whatever.
It's all about, to me, every broadcast in my mind would be that what this really is about is giving people the option to actually start a relationship with T&O, and they're no longer in human vehicles. So the best way they can do that is by talking to them.
You want to leave comments if they're negative or positive. It doesn't matter. It's all good. We'll always be here. We're going to be doing some more podcasts. We've got some filming to do. Sawyer's got his music. It's absolutely fantastic. You wait and see. It's beautiful and really good stuff. I think the first song in the series is going to be called The Song is T&O. And it's very, very nice. It's a bit long. It's a bit long, but that's the way it is, guys. So listen, if you want to subscribe to the channel, subscribe. If you're looking on YouTube. If you're not looking on YouTube, if you're on iTunes, definitely come back every month. You will get a fresh download of something new. It doesn't take us much to do these little bit of a chat.
It does. It takes lots and lots of money. We want your dollars.
No, we don't want dollars. God damn it, Jonathan. We don't want dollars.
I'm just kidding, Peter. Just kidding.
Oh, God. Look at that, Jonathan. That Jonathan JP. God damn it. Look at him. He's money hungry. He's like Gordon Gekko in Wall Street. And then, of course, you know, we will have regular guests on. The regular guests or the actual, you know, co-hosts are Jonathan and, of course, Sawyer. And we might have other people on. We'll just see how it goes. There might be some negative people, too. Let's just see. So take care, guys. Thanks for listening or watching if you're on the YouTubians. And we shall see you soon.